Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Joining us for a second time on the Celeb Savant podcast are British R&B and rap duo Bars & Melody, consisting of rapper Leandre De Fris and singer Charlie Lenihan. They took part in the 8th series of Britain's Got Talent in 2014. During their audition, they were automatically sent into the semi-finals of the competition after the head judge Simon Cowell pressed the golden buzzer. They ultimately finished in third place in the series. Their first single after the show, Shining Star, was released in 2014, accompanied by the acoustic version of their song Hopeful. Bars & Melody released their debut studio album 143 in 2015. It debuted at number 4 on the UK charts. 2 years later, their EP Teen Spirit was released. This was followed by self-released Generation Z, then Sandboy in 2020 on Universal Music. In 2021, Bars & Melody released the Carpe Diem EP, signaling a change in their sound and future. 2024 marks a decade of the duo being in the entertainment industry and in the limelight. As we catch up with Leandre and Charlie on this episode of Celeb Savant, we hear about their journey and why in 2024 they're deciding to take a break from creative music. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Charlie and Leandre from Bars & Melody.
Where are you guys at and how are you doing?
I'll let Charlie proceed.
Mine's a little bit more interesting. I'm on holiday right now. I'm over in Asia, just chilling, resting up, getting ready for the tour. Yeah, obviously super excited. It's the last one, so it's definitely going to be emotional. It's going to be a lot to take in, a lot to deal with. So I'm just recharging the batteries right now.
I'm in the trenches, so I'm still in the UK holding down the fort whilst Charlie goes and kicks his feet up in the sun. I'm in the trenches. I'm digging out the trenches in the muck. So don't you worry. Like, I'm getting my hands dirty.
Thank you, Charlie, for joining us on holiday. I appreciate that while you're there. What's been happening since we last spoke? So, Charlie, you referenced that it's going to be your last tour. So what was the thought process to think, okay, you guys are going to do one more tour and then that's that?
Well, I think that the conversation first started to spark when we started coming up close to the 10-year mark. You know, it's a big milestone and achievement doing 10 years in the music industry. It's a very hard game, very hard to stay relevant and stay in for a long time. So I think coming up to 10 years, there was a lot of time for reflection. A lot of things had changed. You know, life had changed, the industry had changed. You know, I've had a daughter, Leo's, you know, family have, you know, his sister's just had a baby. Like, just life is moving on. You know, people were getting older. And it just seemed like a really perfect time for us to finish up. I think 10-year mark was just kind of the perfect place, time, and space for us to do it. I mean, nobody ever thought, and we never thought we'd last a year, let alone two, let alone five, let alone 10. So yeah, for us, we always said, you know, if we can get to 10 years, we'd be grateful. I don't know. I think we're just getting to that time in our life now where, you know, we're fully grown men and we've got other ambitions, goals, dreams, and things we want to do in our life, really.
The main thing I think of is when, you know, when it comes to ending, obviously me and Charlie have, we're always just open and honest with each other completely, no matter regarding whatever it is. And, you know, there was never any feelings of like spite in terms of, oh, like, I just want to quit. And like, it wasn't like seen on both sides. I think we both kind of thought it was a good idea in terms of making a healthy decision. You know, the world is in a weird place right now. Yeah, with everything. And, you know, I feel like being in the light, not limelight, I hate using that word. Just being at the forefront in terms of having people to answer to and supporters and et cetera, et cetera. I feel like, you know, a lot of the time you're kind of like expected to have an opinion on everything. There's a lot of pressure in terms of that. And you know, no one's ever perfect or right. So we experiment, you know, we make decisions in our lives that maybe sometimes aren't the best decisions, etc. But we're human, and I think to take away that pressure maybe of having to constantly answer for everything, because the way we run Bars and Melody is we're completely open, we're completely honest, we're completely transparent with our fans. We communicate, they know everything pretty much about our lives, and I love it, don't get me wrong, but it's all I know. And I would love to just, you know, take a step back and remodel kind of the way I think about, you know, say I want to do music going forward, or Charlie wants to do music going forward. There's different ways to go about it. So I think just giving each other, you know, that space to be able to remodel and kind of tackle it on our own, because we necessarily didn't have a model coming into music. We kind of just got together as kids, you know, didn't think of it as a business, and, you know, we're just kind of taking each day as it comes with no plan, no sort of like idea of what the hell this could potentially get to. And then when everything did happen, there's obviously a lot of people around you with plans, with goals, because coming into the industry as kids, and there's all men around you, like mid-30s, 40s, even like some youngsters in their 20s, but they all have plans, you know? We were just naive, skipping about, doing our thing. The plan necessarily wasn't always there. And I think as we got older, we've kind of sort of formulated and structured a plan. And it's worked as far as the lessons we've learned, the experiences we've had. But I feel like we've experienced so much, especially within the past couple of years. It would be good to just have a total reset. And it's not to say that we don't love Bars and Melody anymore, because we really do. And we're super grateful for it. I feel like everything runs its course, and the legacy is so amazing. It's kind of scary to continue, because you don't want to damage that sort of legacy.
And, you know, the only consistent we have is change. It's just about accepting and acknowledging that changing and letting it flow through us. But Charlie, you referenced a little bit earlier that the music industry is hard. So there are a lot of people, fans, who think, oh, you guys have it easy. You're on the stage. You do get the money. Everything's simple and easy. They don't realize how hard it actually is. From your guys' experiences and perceptions, for the listening audience, why is the industry hard?
I think where it becomes difficult is definitely the industry that we was in. Like, you've got a thing that we've met and been around all sorts of levels of celebrities in every industry and field. And, you know, over the years, especially growing up in it, we've managed to digest and take that in. It's kind of all we know. And from what I can take from it, I think it's just the naivety of the fact that majority of the most successful artists are very young. And I think it comes to the point where the artists are just a product to the big infrastructures, businesses, managements, and of course, labels, managements, promoters, people's like this interest, which I don't think is directly in offense, but is in their own interest. So the artist is left just to kind of fend for themselves. And over the years, we learned that, and we as we went on, we gained our independency more, took a lot more control. But I see how people can very easily slip into a slope of just having no power. And I think that's where it becomes very difficult. And I think why our journey was maybe more difficult than others is because we did have power, and that made our individual responsibilities so much harder. You know, we was independent. You know, we've never had any front-running company that's in control of what we do. Our management is always under us, not above us. That's always a big problem for artists as well. Our decision has always been first. So, like, I feel like our career has been harder because we've had that responsibility. But I think the industry is generally tough on people because they don't have any control.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think, you know, younger, especially when it's more, you see a lot more with younger people. And, you know, there is a lot of younger people doing music, and especially nowadays. But, you know, when we first started, there wasn't too many people our age about. And I think one of the biggest struggles I definitely saw was, is, you know, even though I knew that, you know, we had such great supporters and and everything like that. I feel like in the UK, maybe this is only the case in the UK. I feel like everyone's very closed off, and in a creative space like music, you expect for it to be very collaborative. You expect for it to be like constant, like free flowing conversation in studio sessions with all different types of producers. And we were, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's nowhere near as collaborative as I thought, and way more corporate. And I don't like that. I ain't the corporate type of guy, you know. I feel like, you know, the music should always come first, the art, the creativity, but that it's never really the case. And I mean, especially the way we used to run it. So kind of like seeing that as a problem, the solution for us was to just not really sorry, I can't swear.
Yes, you can. It's fine.
I don't really give a shit like how other people are doing it. I kind of just want to do it our way. And, you know, even though, like I was saying earlier, the musical decisions we've made, I feel like there's beauty in that imperfection. You know, I listened back to some of the music we made, like I physically cringe myself, but at the same time, there's beauty in that, you know, it's a journey. It's a story. Like, I feel like I see so many people come out the gates hot, like in their prime. And I'm like, when I came out the gates with our first single, I was nowhere near my prime. It's been a journey. It's been a sort of story. And I feel like that story is what I enjoy. So, you know, the way we've done it, you know, it makes me proud. I want people to look at it and be like, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do everything 100%. Just experiment and be you. Bring back the creativity and the collaboration, and kind of shun these corporate demons out. Because that's not what music's about to me, and it never has been.
With corporates, it's equal to ego. There's a lot of ego and fear because of like, oh, you know, this is mine. You can't collaborate because it's, you know, there's all this nonsense carrying on. But you referenced about cringing at some of the older songs. So when you had created those songs, was it feeling of, cool, this is really great, I love it now, but only later realize that, okay, it wasn't so great? Or why do you say that?
Yeah, level of development, isn't it? Like, you're constantly moving forward in skill development. So, like, me and Leo have always struggled with this. Like, we'll make something and we'll be in the studio and we'll be like, this is a heater. And we'll look back in 6 months and be like, this is trash. Like, it's because you're constantly developing your skill set. Like, it's not like it's an art form, right? So you can never just like do an exam and just be like a professor or a master. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
So you're constantly looking back on previous work. And it's like, what's the name of the artist that painted the Sistine Chapel? Can't remember his name.
Was Michelangelo? No.
But yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Michael Jangler. Yes.
And he was a perfectionist, and his artwork, he never believed in. And even that piece of work, he said, after it was completed, was one of his worst pieces of work. And it's now admired as one of the most beautiful pieces of art on planet Earth. It's that artist syndrome. I just genuinely think it's a real thing. It's like, it's actually like an artistic default.
No, 100% is. And, you know, you obviously, dependent on what you're doing, music or painting, etc., there'll be different, you know, be different sort of things you can start to get better at. And you make that mental note to yourself to be like, okay, I'm going to focus on my delivery now, or my writing, or, you know, how I want to come across, or what type of things I want to be talking about. And, you know, it's hard to do that all at once. So it takes a cumulative amount of years to kind of get to the point where you're on top of all of that. But even still, you're never going to be perfect. I mean, the songs I'm talking about, I'm cringing at, like, aren't even that old, I would say. Like, I'm not talking about ones I did when I was like 13, 14, talking about like my little high school crush. Like, I don't mind that so much. I was a kid then. I'm talking about more recent stuff.
Yeah.
Just with like when you're a teenager and you're partying and there's girls all around you, and, you know, it's hard not to.
That's what I mean. People have got to remember that, like, we've not just like entered the industry as adults and just like sustained a career as, like, you know, conscious adults, you know, like with responsibilities and all this stuff. Like, we've grown up in the industry. Like, Leo was 12 and I was 14 when we really first started this. So it's like we've developed from kids to adults on camera through songs, through content, through videos, through interviews. And like, as everyone knows, going from a kid to an adult is like a big discovery phase. And to have to like still cater to social media, TV, radio, like all these things, and like keep a sort of level character is super hard. You know, before I made this decision to end Bars and Melody, I remember saying to Leo, like, I had a conversation. I was like, I'm having like a really mad like personality crisis. Like, I don't know who I am, what I want to be, all this stuff. And it's like, it's because we've only ever been this.
Yes.
You know, like all we've ever known since we were kids. Like, we have flash memories of our childhood, and then all we know is this. So like, what are we apart from Bars and Melody? And I think that's what sparked us to make this split, because we want to discover who we actually are. Like, yes. I love Leo to pieces, but like, every decision I've made in life has affected him. Every decision he's made in life has affected me. Like, every decision we have to make has to go through each other. Everything we do is together, and I've loved every moment of it. To have someone there with me to help me like go through this journey has been incredible. But I think we've both now helped each other through a learning period, and we're now both ready to be able to do things alone, you know. And I think that's genuinely like where we're at. And I think like our friendship and brotherhood is like more important than us at this age than business. And as I'm sure everyone knows, it's very, very, very hard to maintain a friendship when you're in business. And the fact that we've done it for 10 years is incredible. And like, we don't want to jeopardize that, you know?
Yeah, but, and I totally agree with that. You know, we're such good friends, and a lot of people fall out. I've seen it firsthand, you know, money, this, that, blah, blah, blah. You know, me and Charlie have made a lot of money together, and never have we argued about money, not once. Never have we sat there and like, I don't know, like spited one another or in any way, shape or form. And I think it's definitely dependent on character. I mean, I know Charlie's not a greedy person. I'm not a greedy person. We want what's best. And if we're going to grow, you know, especially when we were in the band, we wanted to do it in a way that was sustainable and healthy. And we wanted to make sure, you know, he's like my family member. I want to make sure he's going to be all right. So no matter what was going on, that was always the priority, to maintain that. And, you know, even to this day, that is the case. And I feel like that's where a lot of dispute happens within like groups or whatever, like money or like who's more popular or who does. Like, you realize that that's just all a facade. Whoever's doing what within the group, as long as you're successful, that's the main goal. You're successful together, no matter what's going on, how it's happened. As long as it's working, you're successful, and you're able to look after your family. Don't get sidetracked by all these little, like, I don't know, worries or like jealousy.
There
are emotions.
I think it all starts to kick in because of people's lives changing, right? Like, when you do what we do for as many years as what you have, like, your life changes. Like, we're never going to be, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to use the word normal because it's the wrong word, but we're never going to have, like, just the way we've been engineered, the way we've worked, the way we've lived our lives since then till now. We're never going to have a normal life. We're always going to be doing something frantic, crazy, creative, whatever it is. It's always going to be above the norm. But I think it came to a point like where we're getting to an age now where life gets serious. You know, like, Leo's 23 turning 24. I'm 25 turning 26. Like, I have a kid now. Like, things like this, like, there's huge lifestyle changes. Like, I have a drastic amount more responsibilities than Leo right now. That pressure, I can't help but apply to everything in my life. Like, that affects Leo. You know, that pressure of running a family, keeping a house, like, doing all these things, which we know it doesn't matter how your life is, it's hard, it's not easy. Those pressures backtrack and relate to everyone. And it's like, I don't, as a person, like, want my responsibilities to like affect Leo. And I know, like, Leo's got things he's doing in his life that like he would rather not like me have any responsibilities. And like, there's just so much we want to do in life that just we need to do alone. Like I can't raise a family next to Leo. Leo can't go off and raise a family next to me. Like at some point this was going to happen, you know, like it was inevitable. And I think it's just got to that time now. And I think it come to that time at the 10-year mark, which was just a coincidence and also perfect timing.
So what is going to be for the fans to celebrate the end? What are you guys going to be doing?
Well, where do we begin?
Well. So, I mean, like, obviously, your typical, like, final tour, it's only right, you know? I'm super excited. We haven't really toured in a while. I mean, ever since, you know, the coronavirus pandemic, all that stuff, we haven't really got back to touring. And I mean, just like going and doing interviews in general, we've stayed like quite under the radar, just releasing songs and just using social media to interact with our fans, really. So, you know, this tour is going to be something special. Most definitely, I've been itching to get back on stage for a hot minute, and you know the fact that it's gonna have all this other sort of fiasco going on in the background is just gonna make me bring even more energy, and I know Charlie will as well. Yeah, we put a lot of time, preparation, effort, and planning into this final tour, along with you know a couple of songs coming out just before the end, so people have something to hang on to.
Yeah, this wasn't a decision we made like 2 months ago. Like we've known about this for what, like maybe like 2 years now, I think.
Yeah, something like
okay.
That.
We've been planning this final moment, these final moments for a long time now. So we basically said like no matter how or when we end, we want to make sure we finish it like with a smile on our face and doing it properly. So we've made sure that we're doing that. There's a lot of secrets that like we can't really say.
Yes. Yeah.
The final tour isn't like everything. There's a few more little things in the pipeline to excite some people before we go. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a secret.
But that's a secret. So.
And I just wanted to give it, you know, a massive shout out to all of our supporters who have there were some dates on the tour that sold out within like 10 minutes. Others that just, you know, we're going to places we never really expected to, you know, do well. And we've just had loads of requests on social media to please come here, please come there. And, you know, the support's just been overwhelming. So yeah, this tour is definitely going to be something special. That's for sure. That's for sure.
The podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message to the listening audience, Charlie, what would you like to say first?
I'd just like to say thank you to obviously everyone who supported me in the past 10 years now. It's crazy.
You thanking
I mean,
me?
Obviously. Yeah, like, no. Like, everyone, like, just saying from my point, Leo, you'll get your moment in a minute, all right? Like, thank you to everyone. It's been surreal. Like, it's been an incredible journey. I couldn't have asked for it to go any other way. There's been so many ups and downs, but like riding that wave's just been so much fun, and sharing it with Leo, someone that's you know become a brother and a best friend to me, is nothing but an honor and a blessing. And I just can't wait to do this last tour and everything else that's gonna happen before we make our exit. We're gonna do it big, do it large, and we're gonna have fun doing it. But it's not the end, you know. It's like it's not like Bars and Melody is going to disappear. Bars and Melody is still always been there. It holds a heavy legacy in a lot of people's hearts, and it's a message that we'll continue to spread. I know our interest is to continue doing music. I think it's something we'll always do. But for now, that journey is coming to an end. It's the end of one book and the start of a new one.
Yeah.
So yeah, just thank you so much to everyone for the support. I really appreciate it.
I don't really have a message, but I would just say that, like, for me right now, ending Bars and Melody is reminiscent of like breaking up with my first girlfriend. It's like you don't want to let her go, and you're like, but she's gone. Do you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
That's all I have to say. Obviously, thank you, Charlie, for 10 years of absolute carnage.
It's been great fun.
Yeah, we've done a lot of crazy stuff and stuff I never could have dreamt of ever doing. So the people I've met, the places I've been, the songs I've created, apart from the cringy ones, it's just all phenomenal, and I'm just super grateful. And I'm not, at the start I was like not upset, but I was scared, I guess. I was more scared because I was like, like Charlie said, it's all we know.
Yeah.
But now I'm grateful. I'm in a place of gratitude. So yeah, thank you everyone. And yeah, thank you, Charlie.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.